Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
But what they really need from the Christian community is this understanding of we are going to show you compassion.
Sarah Zagorski on Focus on the Family Minute.
We're going to show you understanding about what is going on in your life, and we're going to help you and unravel how you can raise your child with support. And that's really important because women in these situations, they don't have the luxury of judgment. And I don't say judgment as if we are somehow condoning abortion. We're never condoning abortion. Right. We're always telling the truth about what abortion does.
Yeah.
But we're reaching in. We are trying to get in her shoes and say, let's go through it together. Let's walk through this together. How can I help you before you make this decision? Let's look at every other way that your life could be. And let's also look at the future of what your life could be.
Hear more at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. The sun was going down. As it shone through the hotel room window, it cast an evil reddish glow all about. And in that sparsely appointed room, bathed in red, sat a little boy gasping for breath, trying with all of his might to assuage the panic that now held him in its grasp. For the day had been long and lonely and fearful, mostly because it was leading to the night. Another in a seemingly endless procession of nights spent all by himself. The child's name was Truman Streckfus Persons, although at 5 he was not yet old enough to dislike his name. But what he hated was his life and the unwanted solitude which was so frequently imposed upon it. His father was a traveling salesman with a singular gift for making any product seem unappealing. His mother was an abusive, even physically violent alcoholic who was often seen in the company of men other than her husband. Except in the biological sense, neither of them was a parent. And thus did the little boy's existence become a succession of hotel rooms, mostly empty ones, and the nights, mostly solitary, terrifying nights. And down went the sun, and in poured the blackness. And as it engulfed the room, the child began to scream. When the youngster was 6, his mother unloaded him on other members of the family, and he was to grow up in a household of eccentric maiden aunts. But he was never, as long as he lived, ever to outdistance those terrible nights of his early youth. He would re-experience their terror in recurring dreams until the day he died. But this is the rest of the story. One bright spot in an otherwise dismal childhood was a best friend named Nellie. She, too, had come from a turbulent home. Her own mother had tried to drown her in the bathtub twice. So she understood the little person's boy as few could have, and she was impressed by him. So much so that when she grew up and became an author, she, Nellie Harper Lee, modeled one of her most famous characters after him, the dapper Dill Harris character from one of her most famous novels, To Kill a Mockingbird. The real-life person's child seemed headed for a singularly undistinguished life. After scraping through high school, he got a job as a copy boy, tried to forget the darkness of his youth, but the harder he tried, the more he remembered. He once said of his mother that she was the single worst person in his life. The only thing worse than her being there was her not being there. I have a 30-plus years old photograph of that young man. It's one of those pictures that stares at you more intensely than you could ever stare at it. And in the eyes, you can see the ghosts of dreaded sunsets long gone by and darkening hotel rooms long since vacated. And I don't know, looking at that picture, it seems to me if you listen carefully, you can hear the echo of a screaming child. who, like his best friend Nellie, grew to be gifted with words, and then to produce a multitude of American literary history's most remarkable pages. For you know him as the author of In Cold Blood. But now you've met the little boy, left alone in the dark, Truman's Breakfast Persons, whom the world knows by a stepfather's name, the pen name he adopted, Truman Capote. Only now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I have John Pashon on the show, and we have a caller. What would you like to ask John Pashon today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Karen. I appreciate everything you do for Cal Coast News, and just keep it up. I know you get a lot of flack for it. John, I'm a Templeton resident also, and I think you were talking about issues in small communities. I think the big question right now in Templeton is about the fireworks. And I know that Atascadero recently adopted what I think is a really good ordinance for their fireworks and kind of how they're going to be able to enforce that. Do you know or have you talked with your colleagues about how maybe the county is going to look at it? Because I know that I see people doing illegal fireworks down the street, and there's nothing I can do about it, because as soon as a sheriff cruiser cruises in, they run and hide. But I guess from this Atascadero ordinance, if I was to videotape them and show them going into a residence, that there would be some kind of repercussions for that. Is there anything going on that way countywide?
From an illegal perspective, so in Templeton, as you know, there are safe and sane fireworks, which are controlled by the fire department in Templeton and the CSDs, the Templeton CSD. And they've made a decision to go forward with their safe and sane fireworks and allow people to use those. And that's mostly a nonprofit fundraising enterprise that they have, I think, three or four.
And I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm totally fine with that.
Illegal,
these are the mortars. And
yeah, the illegal fireworks that are not legal anywhere in California is what you're talking about, the aerial bombardments and different things.
Right.
So the county has, and it was on the last agenda, so I can actually tell you exactly what it was, but we had instituted a program. Now, I didn't support it last time because it was we don't have a lot of money to spend on these types of things, but they it did pass, and so it is law right now. And what it is a it allows the sheriff's department and Cal Fire and a number of people to use drones to be able to go over specific areas. Last year, those drones were targeted on the coastal communities, Cambria, Morro, but not Morro Bay, but Los Osos, and then down through like some of the coastal communities. And so my understanding is this year there will be drone usage on the 4th of July in the North County to try to pinpoint people that are going after the aerial displays in their own backyard.
Now that's okay for the 4th of July, but many of us in Templeton, if we are looking at the social media, we understand that there's all kinds of mortars that are going off just before and after 4th of July, as well as like my neighbors are down the street. I mean, I'm watching them shoot them off in the driveway, and I live in, you know, right by the post office.
That's where I live.
I'm aware. I'm just wondering is the sheriff's department, if they're not there, if they're not actively seeing it, there's really nothing that I as a community member can do. And I thought one of the things that that Atascadero made so well was that if I took video of them or something like that, and it would also hold the property owner responsible.
Yeah.
Because I know that these drones can't be everywhere, and it does take a couple of guys to run those drones, and they're busy. I get that. But, I mean, I had people yelling and screaming and cheering for these folks, and I wasn't going to get in the way of these mortars going off.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's probably a safe thing to do.
No. So I'm urging the county. I think Atascadero has a great ordinance, and what they have done in regards to allowing me to, you know, say, hey, these guys did it. I have the proof. Here's the video. And they're long gone, right? They may be in an Airbnb and they've left. There's no way you're going to go to the house, knock on the door, and nobody's going to answer. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, are we going to be able to hold property owners responsible for this kind of thing? And then what actions can the community take? Because I can call 911 on the 4th of July, and I think you know what kind of response I'm going to get. Unless something's burning down, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about these fireworks that are going off. And back to your point of hitting on small town and that kind of thing, I mean, that's a big issue. And I'm fine with the Safe and Sane. There is a lot of money for the charities, and I personally do Safe and Sane fireworks every year. It's the mortars and the big booms and the things like that I would like to see the county, you know, get a little more strict on. Drones are great, but I'm worried that if you know, the community needs to be the eyes and the ears, and if I report something, that's all I can do.
Let me read this to you. So this is the ordinance that passed last month in April by the Board of Supervisors, which includes penalties. So we actually have an ordinance, and the Board of Supervisors of the county, so this is Section 6.32, Title 6 of the San Luis Obispo County Code. Penalties for violations. Okay. Any person violating any of the provisions or failing to comply with any of the mandatory requirements guilty of a misdemeanor and public nuisance, any person convicted of the misdemeanor under the provisions subject to punishment by a fine or imprisonment in county jail for a period not exceeding 6 months. So the county now has a 6-month jail sentence and a fine for violations. And so let me read here. This is under the Health and Safety Code, and any person violating this chapter, and this would be for purposes of this section, the enforcement officer means any law enforcement officer, county employee, or agent of the county with the authority to enforce any provision of the code. Let's see here. Social host. So it does include a social host, so an Airbnb.
Okay.
Any owner of private property as listed on the most recent assessment roll would be responsible if fireworks are shot off, illegal fireworks, the aerials are shot off of the property. Any person who hosts, organizes, supervises, officiates, conducts, or accepts responsibility for a gathering on public or private property. And then strictly liable, there's spectator section, means any person present during an unpermitted fireworks discharge for the purpose of viewing, observing, watching, or witnessing event. A person is present during unpermitted firework discharge if that person is within 200 feet of the location of the fireworks discharge. Peace officers or their agents or county employees designated to enforce the provisions who are acting in the course of their duties are not considered spectators. Then social hosts, minors, or spectator liability. So there is strict liability for any violation across the board. So that would be, you know, certainly if anybody gets hurt by them.
Right.
In addition to any fines or penalties which may otherwise be levied by the county persistent to this chapter, the county shall be entitled to recover from any person found to be in violation of this provision. They would be responsible for full response of the costs. So the enforcement officer may seize, take, remove, or cause to be removed at the expense of the licensed fireworks. And this is brand new, and this adds a little bit more teeth to what the County Board of Supervisors did last year. So I'm looking here. I was actually looking for the drone language, which it's quite extensive. So I've got it. I haven't found it yet.
But
if you want, after this is over, just text me. If you don't have I'll give you my cell phone number. You can just text me, and I can send you a copy of this so you can see kind of where we are.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right along the avenue of kind of what Atascadero is doing, with the exception of it doesn't have to be witnessed by an actual police officer. Unless, I mean, we can take video of it,
Right.
So I don't know if that's something that the county.
I'm looking here to see if that's actually in here, and I don't. I'm just perusing this quickly, and okay. I don't see it. So I'll have to get this to you, and we'll take a look.
No, yeah, that's fine, and the fines and the recoveries. That sounds great. And like these people, though, they just run out in the middle of the intersection. You know what I mean? And they're firing them off, and I know they're running back into a house. So, but that sounds great. I mean, that's something that I know a lot of Templeton residents. I think too, when they talk about we don't want fireworks in Templeton. I think what they really mean is we don't want the big bangs and the booms and these mortars going off. I'd be hard pressed to think that, you know, they really don't want the safe and sane, because they really don't make that much noise.
I actually don't witness them. I hear them because I have dogs. So my dogs, I'm hunkering down with my dogs because they're crawling under the bed.
Right.
So
thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thank you, John. And I'll get the information later.
Fantastic.
Thank you. And we've had a couple different text messages.
This is great.
One of them wants you to know there are too many horse trailers for a roundabout in San Miguel.
That's a great point. Hadn't even thought of that or talked that. So that's good to know.
And then we also have one. We need drones on patrol in San Miguel. Last 4th of July, a bottle rocket landed on top of my mobile home.
Got it. I'm marking that down.
And one more thing about 4th of July. Tell me what's going on in Templeton on the 4th of July.
So we do our parade, right? Which is, as you all know, the Templeton Parade. And it's going to be a great day. Templeton Rotary puts that on, and it's just one of the best, I think, one of the best parades in North County. And then also, you know, you have a number of fireworks displays that are put on by, like, the city of Paso Robles that they'll be doing theirs. And so I think that's a great way to spend the 4th of July.
I love community 4th of July parades, and they're
wonderful. It's wonderful.
Santa Margarita also has a very good, they always have a parade and then a event at the park and games and food, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time of the year, and it's celebrating the 250th anniversary, which on the way in here I picked up a U.S. Constitution, 250 years. So this is the year for celebrating 250 years of 1787, the framework of our freedom. That was the year that the Constitution was actually put together and actually ratified by the states.
Very good. It's 250. I didn't realize we were there already. I want to bring
1776.
Yeah, I remember the 200th anniversary.
I do too.
I won something with my school to paint fire hydrants like Paul Revere. I had one with Paul Revere, and I was.
Did you paint a fire hydrant?
I painted quite a few. I was picked because of my drawings to paint fire hydrants up in Running Springs and Crestline.
Okay.
And I doubt they're still painted
Probably not. The dogs of the neighborhood probably got all to them.
But I had a week or two off school to paint fire hydrants for the.
There you go.
200th anniversary.
I was, I was 14. I was 14. And I remember we actually went from California to Philadelphia to check that out that summer. We weren't there for the 4th of July, but we were there for that summer.
That was a big year. That was a big celebration.
It was. Mm-hmm.
I want to get into this thing with the Cabrillo Estates. For those that don't know, Los Osos had a sewer issue. They, because of the closeness to the ocean, there were issues there was allegations of seawater intrusion. They didn't want the chemicals going into the ocean and into the estuary. So there was, they put a sewer in, and a lot of people had to pay a lot of money. So, I mean, it was over $20,000 a house to hook up. And some people are still paying huge sewer bills to cover up for all the expenses. So there's a group of people now that want to hook up. They need to have a new sewer. It's the Cabrillo Estates, 266 homes. So you had this on the agenda. And let me tell you, this became a kind of controversial because people were saying, wait a minute, I paid for it. why should the county do it free for these homes when I had to pay $23,000 to put it in my home? And there were people that were a bit irritated. Tell us what happened, what they agreed to do, and what's happening moving forward.
So it was an item on the agenda on the 5th of May, so just a week ago. And what it was the Cabrillo State Sewer Project was a budget adjustment to request another $500,000 from the general fund to be able to hook up these 266 homes to the Los Osos Water Recycling Facility. And this would just be the start of it for initiating work on the project. Now, it was going to take, because it's not in the budget, it was going to take a 4/5 vote. And so, as you know, I tend to be in the minority on the board. And so, you know, if Heather and I stand on a certain specific issue, we can usually stop something with a 4/5 vote. And this is the expenditure. But the whole board was there except for Supervisor Gibson. Supervisor Gibson supported this item. He brought it forward, and this would, and these houses are on a hill, so there's some technical aspects of this that is up on this hill to be able to get them, because they hook them into the Los Osos sewer water project. And so what ended up happening was we had a big discussion about it. And the what basically it came down to is the fact that if we do this for this community, and it was something like $3,000 per home, I think it is worked out to be that, then
because grant money would cover the rest,
right?
Correct?
Grant money comes in for it, and there's other things that would come in to be able to help these folks. But then we would probably have to get in line and do it for a number of other communities. And this is not necessarily disadvantaged communities. I have one in the district I represent, which would be Shandon. You know, there are a number of communities that would come back and say, hey, well, if you did it for this. And so a $500,000 county expenditure ends up being a $10 million county expenditure or even more than that. So it was they were using kind of this neighborhood is outside of the assessment district, and it's currently utilizing on-site septic systems. And that was the thing, is that getting these people off of septic and then onto the sewer.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more learning about what happened at Cabrillo Estates.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher, with the NASDAQ and S&P 500 notching new record closes after President Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi began a high-stakes U.S.-China summit. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mixed. However, shares of NVIDIA rose 4% for a new record high and topped $5.5 trillion in market value, following a report that the U.S. had approved sales of its H200 chips to several Chinese firms. And shares of AI chip developer Cerebras making its Wall Street debut today and finishing up 68% above its initial public offering price at $185 a share. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Cisco, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Boeing, Amazon, and 3M. The Dow up 370 points. The NASDAQ higher by 233. S&P 500 up 57. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. I have John Pashan on the show. We were talking about the Cabrillo Estates. I think we're probably just about done with that. I do want to get into this thing with the for those that don't know, there's a lawsuit regarding Lopez Lake. There is a group of four environmental groups that want to have there's steelhead trout in the area past Lopez Lake in the creek there. And the creek goes out to the ocean. And the only difference between steelhead trout and another type of trout are where they live. If you have any salt water, you're one type, and if you don't, you're another type. The one type is endangered, and as a result of them being endangered, they wanted to have more water released for the fishes. Here's the other thing, though. They count the fishes, I don't know, every 2 years or something?
They do.
And there's usually about three, sometimes there's five. There's not a lot of these steelhead trout in there. They want more water let out for the fishes, and less water for people and fire. And what their people are arguing is, wait a minute, if it goes back to our drought time, we would not have had enough water for our people or for fire suppression. This group wants the water. The county has spent already $4.5 million. There's speculation.
Defending the lawsuit,
stopping this and trying to protect the public. But at the same time, the issue here is, how do you win now? For example, Arroyo Grande, 50% of the water from Lopez Lake, it goes to five communities. You have Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Oceano, and Avila Beach. The bulk of the water, though, 50.5%, goes to Arroyo Grande. That means $4.5 million, half of that would be for the city of Arroyo Grande. This could double their water rates. This is a no-win situation because the ratepayers are the ones that have to pay for it. Some people are mad at the county, and they're saying the county's in charge of this lawsuit because you run Lopez Lake. And for those that, some of the people from the cities are going, why don't we have more say? This is actually more common than you realize. For example, even with the Oceano Dunes, when the permits come from the Coastal Commission, Oceano Dunes State Recreation Park is run by state parks. If somebody sues the Coastal Commission over permits, guess who pays for it? State parks. A lot of times the people running the lawsuit aren't also the people paying for the lawsuit. It's going to be the residents, the ratepayers that pay for the lawsuit. It's kind of an ugly situation. Water is very important. Where do you stand? How do you feel about this? And what is going on?
So this is a pretty big deal. And a lot of it has to do with money. But San Luis Obispo County, 5% of the water we're talking about goes to San Luis Obispo County. The rest of it goes to these different cities and municipalities or areas that are being serviced. It's about 60,000, 61,000 homes. that are or people that are responsible use this water. So this would be 61,000 people. And
are ratepayers.
And so what ends up happening if you look at this, it's so like the city of Arroyo Grande, it's like, as you just said, it's 50% of the community's water that they use. And so
it's actually 61% of their water for Arroyo Grande, but it's 50% of the overall Lopez Lake water. 50% of Lopez Lake water goes to AG. But it's over 60% of their total water.
Of their total water usage, yeah. Okay. So what has ended up happening, and when I say this, there's five NGOs, so non-government organizations, these are nonprofits, California Coastal Keepers, both the state chapter and the local chapter, Los Padres Watch, a number of Ecological Rights Foundation, groups like that, that have come together, and they are wanting, if you break it all down, a fish ladder for the fish that you have already discussed. And this fish ladder would allow the fish to climb up into the lake from the river. The problem with that is that that's like a $50 million item. And as anybody knows, our budget, yes, we are a $1 billion budget, but we don't have $50 million lying around to be able to do this. Now, just to give you some history on the Lopez Dam, it was built in the 1960s. The Endangered Species Act, which the steelhead trout are covered under, was put together in the 70s. And we've been working since 1990 to get permits to mitigate this whole issue. And so to work through it and do that. And then this lawsuit comes along. And the problem is that you talked about AG, Oceano, Pismo, Avalon, Grover. All of them are also, as the county, on the hook. The county is taking the lead on this and fighting this because we don't believe that this is the right thing to do. And they're going to try to force us to be able to really spend lots of money with the fish ladder. And I say $50 million, you know, fish ladders, as we all know, construction prices over the last 5 years have gone through the roof. So by the time this gets through the court, this could be a $75 million fish ladder, which if you think about it, is just, so the trial is not set yet. It's probably going to be in the fall. All these organizations against the county and these cities and municipalities, and it's all based on this habitat conservation plan. Now, we have been working, the county over the years has been working with the federal government, the NIMS, so the National Marine Fisheries, Fish and Wildlife, all these different organizations to try to get and deal with this problem. And then the lawsuit comes along and just goes after it. Now, water for 60,000 people lost, as we talked about earlier, it would be a loss of 50 million gallons of water if they have to push more water out of the dam, and it would go down the river and then into the ocean. And so our goal here is to actually win this lawsuit and stop this. And as a board of supervisors, all five of us have voted to move this forward to defend against this because we believe it would be devastating, certainly to AG, to the city of Arroyo Grande, to Oceano, to Pismo, to Avila, and to Grover Beach.
And for fire suppression, we all know what happened in LA because they didn't have the water.
Right.
Do we really want to put the water
and remember,
that is needed for fires?
Remember that when those fires first happened in the Palisades, and I can say this having lived my first few years of life in the Palisades in Santa Monica, when that first happened, people were all talking about how it was climate. It was the climate change that caused all these fires. Nobody's talking about that right now. Everybody's talking about the fact that fire suppression, the dams were empty. They didn't keep water storage. They didn't keep it prepared. So there wasn't any water in the fire hydrants. Now that's what they're talking about. And there's a very successful individual running for mayor who's making it the issue right now, who actually has now been sending out text messages asking for $5 for his campaign. But to me, it's really a big issue because right now we're dealing with issues of fire all over. These wildfires have basically bankrupted a number of insurance companies, so they can't pay for people to rebuild their homes. The state's not, you know, the state and local governments are not helping people rebuild their homes after a big fire goes through. And so water is a key necessity in fire suppression, and we have to have availability. We have to have it available to be able to deal with that. If you think about, you know, just last year, coming up on almost a year when the grain, Templeton Feed and Grain burned down, the amount of water that was needed to be able to suppress that fire was incredible. And we can't be caught in a situation where the fire department gets to a fire hydrant and then there's nothing there. So I think it's important not just for fire, but also for the drinking water and the household water for 60,000 people. And there's no way to be able to cut back water usage that much, which we already do in all of these communities. We do already have programs where people are using less water. We can't cut back more and to be able to continue to service that. So that's why we're fighting this.
And one of the interesting things, I find the people and the fish to be, or the people and the fire to be the most important. But they won the appeal. But here's the thing, when a lot of people don't realize, when you win an appeal, it has to go back to the judge. So they spent 4.5 and it's still not done.
Not done.
But they won the appeal, but they won the appeal on a very interesting, not because of the people, not because of the danger of fire, not for the need for water. They won the appeal based on the red-legged frog and the tidewater goby, two other endangered species that cannot have a bunch of water flowing by, and it could actually harm them.
It actually washes them out to the ocean, where the salt water kills them.
So they blocked this not because of protecting the community. They wanted to protect the red-legged frog and the tidewater goby.
Goby, yeah. And I will tell you that we'll throw anything we can at it. You know, to me, it's an example of a frivolous, you know, deal. But, you know, they keep throwing things at us. We keep pushing back on it. That's why it costs so much money, is that, you know, they can't bankrupt us, but what they can do is they can just tie us down. And they tie us down in little knots, and then we have to undo the knot and figure out how to get around it and keep going, all on the effort to get to a trial where we can present our case that we've been working on this since the 1990s, and we want the fish to continue to live, but we can't afford a $75 million fish ladder.
And one of the things that's going on here also is people are angry at these nonprofits, and there's an opinion piece on Cal Coast News. It's called Arroyo Grande Faces a Water Crisis, Paulding Faces a Conflict. Paulding was very tied to a group of environmentalists, Charles Varney. What was that attorney that was very involved in this? A number of the people that helped get Paulding elected in the beginning are also wanting to.
There's a woman named Cynthia Rapago,
yeah,
who's also part of this lawsuit.
And these were people that supported Jimmy coming into office. There are some people that are mad at Jimmy saying, go after these environmental groups, and people reach out to these environmental groups and get them to knock this off and protect the community.
Well, it is. When you're talking about cutting the drinking water to 60,000 people, it's just unbelievable that people would go there. And once again, it's an example of, you know, of putting fish over people's lives. And so we're going to continue to push on this. We're going to continue to fight it. We're going to, every time, it's like whack-a-mole. Every time something new comes up, we just have to pound it back down and keep going. So that's what we're going to do.
And this is, but I think it's at a point where no matter what, Arroyo Grande, I don't see how they win. They either lose their water, they lose their fire protection, and regardless, their water rates are going to go up. No matter what, the rates are going to go up because they've already spent $4.5 million.
Yeah, and they have thrown, I don't know how many different things they've thrown at us, and when I say us, all of us, AG, Oceano, Pismo, Avila, Grover, and the county, and we just keep having to defend.
How long has this been going on? When did they first file?
I think it's now been 2 years.
So it moved through pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, when the Trump administration came out and became aggressive with the fish and water, has anybody in the county reached out to the Trump administration and asked them to add something to the law To protect the community.
Well, we've been out, we've been talking to like the National Marine Fisheries, the Fish and Wildlife. You know, the Commerce Department has some of those, and then the Interior Department others. And so we've been trying to work with the administration. Yes, so we have been. You know, and to me, but again, we live in California, and California is not necessarily, you know, in tune with the President of the United States, and so it's a little bit tougher to get people to return calls.
I've noticed a little different subject, but the offshore wind energy. Sorrel Rizzo has been talking to people with the Trump administration. He did push them to make a deal with Golden State. He's pushing a deal on another one. He has been very effective by working with them, but I don't know how he got there. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back with one last segment. So if you have a question, with John Pashant.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com. Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Junior, do you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier, hearing aid specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have John Pashant on the in the studio. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
I don't have to ask. I'm just want to thank him for doing a great job, John.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate you. Thank you for all you do.
Well, I just did my best, and I'm glad that I, when I found out who you were and the first time you got elected, I swapped over and supported you ever since. And you've never let me down. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and great job on the festival this last weekend with Main Street. I loved it. It was a great day.
Yeah, Main Street is got a little problem. I'll discuss off the air.
Okay, that sounds okay. Good. Yeah, but I had a great
thank
time
you for
at that
calling in.
The Lavender and Olive Oil Festival.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep,
highly successful. And we all miss Norma, but she left us in good hands.
It was great that they put Norma on the cover of the program for that festival. I loved that picture.
Oh, okay. Take care, and keep up the good work, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Norma was a force.
Oh, dynamo.
Oh,
I love that lady.
I remember the first time she called me, she brought something up about the paid parking. And I said, I'll look into it. The day later, she called me. Well, I have papers for you. You didn't come by. The next day she called me. It was like, finally, I literally...
You had to write a story so she wouldn't call you.
Drove over there because she was calling me every single day. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to have to drive to her office and pick up whatever she wants to hand me. And then the next day, did you read it yet? Did you go to get something done? Did you read it yet? It was like, oh, the only reason I really looked into the paid parking was Norma.
I would talk to her about that down at Touch of Paso because that's where she'd eat her breakfast. So,
and she was passionate.
Oh yeah, she was a fireball. Loved her.
And I think she was the reason that it went this way.
And I will always remember watching her sing Christmas carols when they did the tree lightings in the park every Christmas. She just loved that event, singing her Christmas carols.
Was she
carols.
A good singer?
She was a very good singer. Yes, very much so. Yeah,
I wish I had seen some of those. I just,
just a great memories with her.
But she got things done because she never stopped.
Never.
Mm-mm. She was, she was a bit pushy, and that's
I don't think she was pushy. My conversations with her, she held people accountable, right? So she, if you said you're going to do something, you got to do it, and that's what I loved about her.
Oh, she wanted things, and she wanted She got things done because of the way she did it.
Oh, yeah. She took action to make things happen.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
And I don't even know who's running it now.
There's a number of people, but it's got a president and then a day-to-day person. Jeffrey's doing the day-to-day stuff. So, yeah, there's some good people down there working hard.
And it was already put together so well. It'll last and it'll keep going.
Yeah.
And anyone that wants to join, we have a short time left on our last segment. If you want to ask John Pashon a question, 238-5775, 238-5775. So we've talked about a number of races. I want to also ask you about you are a political consultant, and I find...
But I don't do anything in San Luis Obispo County.
I'm not going to ask you about San Luis Obispo County.
Okay.
I'm even going to get bigger than that. I find fascinating the redistricting. I thought it was nasty all the way around. I didn't want anybody to do mid-district redistricting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was unseemly,
mm-hmm.
personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to blame one side or the other. Everybody's doing it. But is it suddenly going for the Republicans, the redistricting?
Well, with the Supreme Court decision recently, I think things are going to swing in a different direction than they had been going. It's interesting because before this discussion, nobody knew what the word gerrymandering, actually meant. But now, or as Ronald Reagan used to say, he used to tell me it was called gerrymandering because it was named after Congressman Gary. I think that people are just shocked, that they're doing things with these districts and they're moving people around and putting people in different districts. And I know when the patent map locally came out here, that was the first thing they said. It wasn't gerrymandered. It was just, that was ridiculous. Only a judge can say that, and they didn't say that. So I see we have a caller.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John?
John, do you know anything about the underground power line they're talking about doing along Dry Creek and near Jardine and the 46?
I do not, but I can look into it if you'd like.
Well, yeah, I actually spoke to a PG&E because they had the survey people out here, and there's all kinds of little, you know, black and white squares on the ground and stuff. And just wondering, you know, they're talking about doing it in 2027. So, I just wondered if you had any information or you're aware of that kind of planning.
I'm not, but if you drop me a text, I'll give you my cell phone, which is 805-440-7818. Just drop me a text and I'll look into it and then get back to you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet.
One other note while I got you is and I don't know who I should send this to, but the street sign at the corner of Prairie and Dry Creek, it needs some help.
That would be me. So I got that. I'm writing it down right now. Prairie
and Dry Creek.
Write it down on my KPRL pad.
Thank you, I appreciate Kevin. It. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you think the way the Supreme Court ruling and the latest two issues that have come up, that it's actually now headed more to help the Republicans?
It's going to make some states, you know, there's going to be some states that are going to be much stronger. And I think they've already, the from the Democrat side, I think they've already done what they can do. And certainly in Virginia, you know, with Virginia being overruled like that by their own Supreme Court, and now they're asking the federal Supreme Court, I just think it's going to be tough for them to make that up. So, yeah. I mean, but it shows you we are a divided country, divided, you know, kind of the big cities versus the rural areas, and it's going to continue to be like that, and we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to get some things done. And from a Republican side, I think, you know, they're just going to have to get it together and start all communicating on the same page, and let's make some things happen, because ultimately elections are about people making things happen. And if you can't get some things done and it's just, you know, stalemate, then it doesn't work. So, I believe we hold on to the United States Senate. I believe we hold on to the United States House of Representatives, and we'll have another from a federal standpoint here in California. You know, I think we might be able to pick up one or two of the statewide constitutional offices and maybe pick up a couple. We have some really good Republican-wise, we have some really good Assembly and Senate candidates. Maybe pick up a couple of those. We all know what's going to happen with the congressional districts. It's going to be tough. We're going to be down to probably our smallest number of Republicans in the U.S. Congress from California that we've ever had.
And I think in another... after the next census, they're going to lose more seats in California.
Yeah.
There was a recent thing that came out, and I think in the last year, almost 1% of reduction in California population.
Yeah, and I think we could lose two, maybe three, but definitely two. We lost one last redistricting. So 6 years ago, we lost one. And I think it'll probably, you know, go to some of those states that everybody, like Tennessee, probably picks up one. Maybe two. You know, we know, all know people that have moved. So, yeah.
And then you have a lot of people, you know, what was it? Starbucks. Is it Starbucks? Didn't they just go to Tennessee?
In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out plus, I think, Starbucks.
Okay, could be.
Yeah, Starbucks was started in
Seattle. Right.
And they moved a lot. Was it South Carolina? I think they moved a lot out.
Okay. Yeah, well, In-N-Out Burger's setting up an office there. Now, they said they're not leaving California. Obviously, I'd be really depressed if we lost the Atascadero In-N-Out Burger. So we just have to make sure that we're still, you know, we're still good.
And I'm not positive on the Star. I read something about the Starbucks and some changes that they had made.
Yeah.
I think there were some places that just moved out of Seattle because they were doing a business wealth tax.
And we're talking about it here, too, so you never know. You never know what's going to happen here in California. It's always keeping you on your toes.
Will that wealth tax be on the agenda?
I think it ultimately does. The one that I'm a little worried about is the Williamson Act and solar panels. So there's a bill going through our state assembly and Senate that would allow people to keep their tax deduction for Williamson Act, which helps farmers if you put solar panels on your Williamson Act property. And so you'd still get the tax break, but you'd have solar panels. And I'm not really sure if you panel over all the vineyards here in Paso Robles, that the tourists from out of town are going to want to come to Paso Robles and hang out under the solar panels and drink wine. So.
The wine industry not likely to completely come back, but I don't think it's ever going away.
I don't think so either. I think it's still pretty strong here in Paso Robles, and they're working pretty hard to keep it going.
And John, thank you very much for coming in today.
You bet. Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.